My desire is to honor you, Lord. I want to give you glory and praise. I lift my voice in adoration, for giving me salvation. You have been my friend when no one else was there. You have proved your many miracles to me. I'm amazed at how you've taken care of me. There's no way to repay you for all you've given me. But I come to you and offer my praise. As long as there is breath in me, Lord, I will bless your name. As long as I have life, your name I'll glorify. You can take who I am, my desires and my dreams. I'll trade them for your will. I'll exchange them for your plans. As long as you're glorified. You've been my fortress, my refuge through the storm. There's never been a time I've been alone. Your grace and mercy have carried me through. Every hour, every moment, whether I was weak or strong, help me, Lord, to keep trusting in you, that whatever path you lead me, I will go. I know I'll find your presence leading all the way. Lord, may my life be a glory to you. In my life, Lord, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today. As long as there is breath in me, Lord, I will bless your name. As long as I have life, your name I'll glorify. You can take who I am, my desires and my dreams. I'll trade them for your will. I'll exchange them for your plans. As long as you're glorified. As long as you're glorified.
Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. We'll read the first three verses of this chapter. And those of you that are familiar with Jeremiah 33 probably have already run ahead in your mind and realized we're going to preach on the subject of prayer tonight. Jeremiah chapter 33, verses 1, 2, and 3. This is the name of the message: Dare to Pray a Great Big Prayer. Dare to pray a great big prayer. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible tonight. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, The Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask, dear Lord, that you'd help us in this very special and sacred area, Lord, of our Christian life. And Lord, thank you, dear God, that you're there, that you have invited us not just to come. You've invited us to come boldly to the throne of grace. And Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that you'd help each of us in this area of prayer tonight. And Lord, we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. I remember Ed Johnson came to our church one time and he began to introduce a message and he introduced it like this, and I never have quite forgotten it. He said, I really struggled with what to preach tonight. And he said, because I feel like I'm preaching a selfish sermon. He said, I kept going back to this one sermon, not because I was convinced that you all needed to hear it, but because I was convinced that I needed to hear myself say it. And he said, I hope that it ministers to you as much as I hope it will minister to me. And then I got to thinking as I prayed over this sermon, I don't know about you, but I've never got to a point in my Christian life, and I doubt if I ever will, where I feel like in the area of prayer, I have arrived. I think that when any time the subject comes up, any time a sermon's preached on it, all I can do is kind of just bow my head a little bit and think, Lord, that if there's any area that I could do better in, it would be in this matter of prayer. And so I think we'll all be benefited. We want revival. You've been praying for revival. Thank you for doing that. Well, it's hard to find a place in the Word of God where revival came where it wasn't connected to prayer. Not a praise team. Come on. Not an electric guitar. Come on. Prayer. Prayer. Let's look at the text tonight. First of all, I want to point out to you the condition of Jeremiah in verse number 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came into Jeremiah the second time, comma, this is important. All scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So let's read the next phrase. While he was yet shut up in the court of prison. So when the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, we find him in this condition. Jeremiah at this time was confined. He was constricted. He had been retained. He was restricted. He was impoverished and imprisoned. And by the way, Jeremiah was also helpless to change any of these circumstances by himself. So first of all, we notice the condition of Jeremiah. Then I love the next verse because we see the resume of Jehovah God. Listen, before he tells him what to do in verse number 3, he reminds him who he is. He said this, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. So yes, we see the condition of Jeremiah, but then that's contrasted by the resume of Jehovah God. What is he saying? How did he fill out this resume? He said, I am the creator of all things. I am the conceiver of all things. I am the controller of all things. I am the eternal, come on, the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, means I am the eternal and self-existent one. And so we see the condition of Jeremiah. We're reminded of the character traits of Almighty God. And then after he lays out that resume, we find verse number 3. Call unto me, who? The creator of all things, the conceiver of all things, the controller of all things, the eternal and self-existent one. He says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. You listen, you may be helpless to change your circumstances. This is what God was saying to Jeremiah. You may be helpless to change your circumstances, but I'm not helpless. I'm not confined. I'm not constricted. I'm not retained. I'm not restricted. I'm not impoverished. I'm not in prison. Listen, none of those words could ever be connected to our God. He said, I am the creator, the conceiver, the controller. I am the eternal and self-existent one. Now, based on that. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Here, if I could just paraphrase what I believe the Lord said there, could I say it this way? Jeremiah, why don't you just pray a prayer as big as I am? Why don't you dare to pray a great big prayer? I want to remind you some things and encourage you to take that thing that maybe is the biggest obstacle in your life and just bring it to the Lord tonight. I want to remind you of the God that we serve. And I want to encourage you in this matter of prayer, but not just a little prayer. How about this? A great big prayer. If I was to find the strongest teenage boy in the room tonight, the strongest teenage boy in the room tonight, somebody point him out. Who would that be? Several guys are nominating themselves, you know, all the way or point on there. And I was to invite this young man right here. And I said, listen, for the service, I talked to you. All right. We didn't, but let's just imagine. Okay. And I said, listen, bro, I'm going to give you the opportunity you've been dreaming of. I'm going to bring you to the stage. I'm going to let you display your great strength in front of the entire church. And this young man got all excited and think, finally, someone's giving me an opportunity. Amen. Finally, I got a chance to show how strong I am. And I brought him all the way to the platform. And then I said, give me one push-up. One push-up. I think he'd probably kind of look at me like, really? If he got down and done it, I think he'd probably be rolling his eyes while he was doing it. I mean, here, you told me you were going to give me an opportunity to display my strength, and you're asking, your request, come on folks, your request is for me to do one push-up. And I just wonder how many times the Lord listens to our prayers. And he kind of rolls his eyes, come on, he kind of rolls his eyes a little and say, is that all you got for me? Is that all you feel like you can trust me to do? Don't you remember who I am? I spoke and the worlds were created. I conceived all of these things. I control all of these things. I'm the eternal and self-existent one. And you bring me your little nickel dime prayer request. Why can't you trust me with something big? Why can't you dare me to do something that nobody could explain away and that only God could get credit for? And I think we need to be reminded of several things tonight. Number one, we serve, listen folks, we serve a great big God. A great big God. In Psalms 57, verse 9, I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Psalms 47, 2, for the Lord most high is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. Psalms 77, 13, thy way, O Lord, is in the sanctuary. Here's the question. Who is so great a God as our God? How about Psalms 95, 3, for the Lord is a great God and a great king above all little g gods. Psalms 96, 4, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised, for is to be feared above all little g gods. About Psalms 104, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God. Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Psalms 145, 3. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. About Psalms 147, 5. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Brother, you've got them singing the scripture songs. I love that. I'm just love come to this church because I can watch everything Brother Angels does, take notes, and I don't have to think of anything for next year. I'm just going to reproduce everything. I've got the theme. I've got the scripture songs. I've got the Bible. What do you call those Bible bits. Amen. I've got it all. I can't wait. They're going to think I'm a genius in Jacksonville. But what about this? We're singing scripture song. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. The city of our God in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole world is Mount Zion on the sides of the north. The city of the great king. Hey, we sing it. Great is the Lord. But do we pray like we believe it? You don't understand, preacher. My situation is impossible. There's no way out for me. There's no hope, Boy, the devil's a liar. He'll sit on our shoulder and convince us that we've got a problem bigger than God. But let me remind you of something, and I say it often to our people. As long as there's God, there's hope. Don't talk to me about hopeless. Don't talk to me about impossible. Impossible? Too hard? No answer? No way out? All those are lies of the devil. I'm sorry, you must not know the same God that I do. Because the God of the Bible, the creator of the universe, come on, the great I am, the redeemer of my soul, the one who allows me to call him. Come on now, Abba Father, let me remind you of something. Your Bible teaches you nothing is too hard for God. Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. For there is nothing too hard for thee. How about Jeremiah 32, verse 60, 26 and 27. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Here's the question. Is there anything too hard for me? How about Matthew chapter 19? Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed and said, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, come on, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. First of all, let's be reminded together tonight that we serve a great big God. Number two, our great big God loves to answer great big prayers. Come on, we have a track record of this in God's holy word. Our great big God loves to answer great big prayers. You know, one of the joys, the benefits of reading through the Bible every year is that you get almost a daily and certainly a weekly reminder of God's track record when it comes to answering great, great big prayers. You get into Genesis and you can find them in every book. Abraham prayed unto the Lord. Come on. And the Lord made him a daddy at 100 years of age and Sarah a mommy at 90 years of age. Exodus, the children of Israel cried to the Lord and God raised up Moses and delivered the children of Israelites from the cruel hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. You go to Leviticus and God allowed a high priest to come into the Holy of Holies with a blood sacrifice and a humble prayer. And the sins of a nation are absolved. In Numbers, Moses faced a rebellion by Korah. Instead of trying to stand up and answer for himself, he fell down on his face and prayed a great big prayer to a great big God. And the earth opened her mouth and answered his critics for him. In Deuteronomy, God answered the last prayer of Moses and took him to the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, and allowed him a glimpse into the promised land. Then took him on to glory. Joshua, a young new leader, walks the hills overlooking Jericho and falls at the feet of the unseen captain, and his prayer is heard, and the walls of Jericho come tumbling down. How about Judges? A man named Gideon prays to God while threshing wheat in secret, and God takes the least man in Israel, adds 300 to him, and defeats a great horde of Midianites and Amalekites, so great in number, by the way, that the Bible says that they lay along the valley like grasshopper for multitudes, and their camels were, the Bible says, without number, as the sand of the sea for the multitude, and yet 300, one leader, and a great big prayer won the battle that day. And Ruth's prayer turned a Moabite widow into the great grandmother of King David. 1 Samuel prayer gave a barren woman a prophet's son and guided a rock into the forehead of a giant and took a shepherd boy and made him into a king. Why are we not praying great big prayers? 2 Samuel prayer brought down the glory of God and filled Solomon's newly built temple. In 1 Kings, a 63-word prayer brought down fire from heaven, consumed a sacrifice saturated in water, and defeated a king and his 850 false prophets. A 63-word great big prayer. How about 2 Kings, a newly mantled prophet cried, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" Then smote the Jordan River, and the Bible says it parted. I like this. Hither and thither. I like that. Leave the King James Bible alone, man. It's just fine the way it is. In 1 Chronicles, David pays, then prays, and the plague is stopped. In 2 Chronicles, a king named Hezekiah gets a death notice from the Lord, then turns his face to the wall, and what does he do? He prays, and his death is postponed for 15 years. I think I'm going to try that. Amen. In Ezra, prayer and persistence builds the temple. And in Nehemiah, prayer defeats God's enemies and builds a wall. In Esther, prayer and fasting and the courage of a Jewish queen saves God's people from annihilation. In Job, God turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Come on, folks. In Psalm, prayer, in the Psalms, prayers fill Israel's songbook. And in Proverbs, we are told this, that the prayers of the upright are the Lord's delight. Ecclesiastes is filled with prayers of regret. And the Song of Solomon is filled with prayers of first love. Isaiah found himself on his knees, come on, crying out, "Woe is me," when he saw a vision of the holiness of God. Jeremiah prayed from a miry pit. God heard him, delivered his prophet. In Lamentations, Jeremiah weeps out his tears until God reminds him, I like this, that the Lord's compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Then Jeremiah cries out, "Great is thy faithfulness." Ezekiel was taken to a valley full of dry bones and heard God ask, "Can these bones live?" What was Ezekiel's prayer answer? Thou knowest, O Lord. You know what? Then Ezekiel got to watch God answer as a living, mighty army marches out of that valley. Daniel prayed his way into a lion's den and then prayed his way back out. Amen. Jonah finally got around to praying. Sadly, took the belly of the well to get him motivated. Amen. Pretty bad in chapter 1 when we've got heathens faithful to pray to false gods. And the Christian, the preacher, is in the belly of the well not praying at all. Amen. And that's sad. But he prays from the belly of a well and God heard him. And by the way, thank God for this. We all need this. God gave him a second chance. Aren't you glad that we serve a God that's willing to give us a second chance? Come on now. How about a third chance? How about a fourth? Chance. Maybe somebody tonight just needs to come to the altar and say, "God, I blew it again, but would you give me one more chance?" I don't think I've ever had God not give a yes to that answer in any Christian's life. Micah prayed and saw God in his holy temple. Nahum stood in the presence of the Lord, then proclaimed, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust him." Habakkuk and Zephaniah and Haggai and Zechariah, they received prophetic words, which we still read today, received each word while standing in the presence of the Lord. Malachi dared God's people to prove God. "Prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall be not no room to receive it." Preacher, are we going through the New Testament? I guess not. But I will tell you this. I'm going to tell you what. Get into Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. And you know what? Study the private prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then study the public prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then sit at his feet when he taught all of those great prayer lessons. Folks, listen. Jesus spent a lot of his time by example and teaching and preaching, encouraging and readying his disciples to pray. And by the way, it worked. When you get into the book of Acts, why did they have a handful of men and women get into an upper room and was able to walk out of there? Come on, walk out of there and turn the world upside down. They did it because they spent those 10 days in prayer and unity before the Lord. This is what jump-started the New Testament church movement. 120 Christians who dared to pray a great big prayer. Acts chapter 3, when did Peter and John see a lame man miraculously healed? When they went up together into the temple, wait, when? When? At the hour of prayer. How about Acts chapter 4? How did the apostles respond to the first great persecution after they had been arrested? Come on, threatened, commanded against speaking anymore in his name. Hey, we better get ready. Because the United States of America is trending that direction, folks. What are we going to do when we're told that we can't do what God said to do? Well, what did they do? And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, come on, they turned on Fox News and got caught up on everything that was going on. No, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. And they get done praying. And the Bible says that when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness, with boldness. Listen, folks, we can go through the book of Acts. I could go on through it. And you know what you'll find out? The miraculous things that happened in this, come on, abounding church. One of the main attributes that drove, come on, that fueled the miracles of the book of Acts is in all through there. You will find Christians praying. Sometimes they're praying individually. Sometimes they're praying in groups. Come on. Sometimes, Brother Bragg, they're praying in prison. Come on, but you know what? God hears those prayers, and He answers those prayers. And so, folks, listen to me. We serve, number one, a great big God. But we also, I want to remind you, serve a great big God who loves to answer great big prayers. Let me give you number three. Our great big God is still listening for great big prayers. Folks, listen to me. All of the prayer stories shouldn't be hundreds of years old. All the great answers to prayer should have happened in the last generation. You know, I'm wonderful that I grew up in a time in fundamentalism where we saw some unusual, amazing things happen. But you know, God's not restricted. Okay? He didn't fall off His throne when 2020 came along. You know what? He's still there. He's still listening. Say, do you have King James Holy Bible? Well, I do. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse number 9. For the eyes of the Lord, come on, run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards Him. And I believe this with all my heart. I think every single day on planet earth, the Bible, if it's true, says that God's eyes are running to and fro. He's searching. He's looking. He's listening. He's trying to find that one Christian. Come on, that one Christian that'll grab a hold of a verse like Jeremiah 33:3 and say, Lord, I believe that verse is as much for me in my circumstance as it was for Jeremiah in his circumstance. And you know what? I think I'll just call unto thee and I will trust you to answer me and show me great and mighty things thou knowest not. You know what, folks? Let me give you number four. God invites you tonight to pray a great big prayer. This takes us full circle all the way back down, back around to our text verse. Verse number three, call unto me and I will answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. One of the wonderful things about serving the Lord all through these years is to be able to see God answer great big prayers. And you know what? If I gave opportunity, we could fill tonight. We could fill the night, I think, till the sun rose in the morning with a line of Christians that would be glad to stand where I'm standing for a few minutes and tell you of a great big prayer that was answered by a great big God. And you know what? These gray-haired saints have spent their life dependent upon the Lord. You know what? They could tell you one story and two story and three story. By the way, tell those stories to your children and tell them to your grandchildren. By the way, grandchildren, young people, listen to me. When grandma and grandpa sit you down in the living room or sit you down at the kitchen table and they begin to tell you God, these types of stories, don't be looking at the door because you'd rather be out playing. Don't be rolling your eyes. Don't be fidgety. You know what? One of these days you're going to wish you could sit at that table, or you're going to wish that you could sit in that living room and listen to these stories. Listen to them and hear them and write them down and listen. Have your faith. Come on. Have your faith built and strengthened, because there's a generation that's telling you they're closer to the end than they are in the beginning. And they're saying to you, listen, God's a great big God. And He answers great big prayers. And you know what? He can answer a great big prayer, come on, of a little girl or a little boy. Come on, children. You know, people have asked, Preacher, have told me, Preacher, we're praying for you. Well, our church is praying for you. And one of the preachers called me the other day and said, our church is praying for you. I'm going to send you something. And I said, okay. And so he stopped by the church. I wasn't there. My wife said, hey, Brother so-and-so came by. And he left something on the counter in there by your office. So I went back there. There was a blanket there. I thought, well, what in the world? All the children of his church had taken their hands and laid them on a piece of material. And you know what? They took their took a marker and they traced out their hands. And they cut these out, all the little children's hands, and they sewed them on this blanket. And you know what? They said all of our children then put their hands on the hands where their hands was and prayed for Brother Ross. And now they're taking this blanket and they're sending it to you. Say, what'd you do? I just rolled up in it, man. I just wrapped it around me. Hey, you know what? I tell the preachers, hey, I'm glad preachers are praying for me, but get your children to pray for me, amen. Come on, grandmas and grandpas, are you with me? I think God loves to hear the prayers of children. I think there's a purity to it, and there's a faith to it that sometimes we lose along the way. I love the fact that children are praying for me. Listen to me, folks. God, I want to say that to you boys and girls. God loves to hear you pray. God loves to answer your prayers. Come on, teenagers. You need God during those teenage years. Don't leave Him. Don't leave off on your prayer life. Don't leave the prayer closet. If anything, I don't know if there's a time in your life you need to pray more in order to beat back the temptations of the devil and all of the snares and all of the traps that he's going to lay. Listen, make sure that you're praying. Travel the country. And I've preached here and there and yonder. And I think back of all the stories. I mean, how much time do we have? Landed in Pennsylvania years ago. And there's a youth pastor that sent a man to pick me up. Didn't come himself. Sent a man to pick me up at the airport. And the man wasn't very talkative on the way home. He said, listen, I know you're probably tired and you want to get to the motel. But the youth pastor asked if I could just bring you straight to the church. He wants a few minutes of your time. And I said, well, of course, whatever he needs. And so we went there, and I walked into his office, and he's fretting. As soon as I walked in, he's just got a look of despair on his face, and he's fretting, and he comes to me and says, Brother Ross, first thing out of his mouth, Brother Ross, I just feel like I've wasted your time. I've wasted your time. Had planned this youth conference for 3 days, and I just feel like I've wasted. I said, what is going on? Sit down, brother, sit down. What's going on? He began to tell me that there had been a problem in the church. And he tried to rally his young people. Matter, can you imagine, Brother Angel, trying to put on a youth conference and you're trying to get your teens involved and half of the parents decide that they want to take their teens to some kind of a evangelical thing instead of supporting your church's own youth revival. So there were some parents that said, well, you shouldn't have planned it this week because we always take our kids here. And they're trying to recruit the teens to come here. And he said, I've got half the kids that aren't even going to be here. And the other half are discouraged because of what's happening. And there's a rift in the church. And he said, I just feel like we should be ready and we should be prepared. And here we're anything but that. And I said, brother, listen to me. Listen to me. Stop. I said, listen, we serve a great God. I said, let's pray. He said, well, let's pray. Let's do it right now. Let's pray. So we got on our faces in that office. We began to pray. And brother, you've been in some of these meetings where you show up and you know what? The spirit's not right. By the way, church, thank you for putting in the prayer. I told your preacher, you're such an easy group to pray for, to preach to, and you've prepared your hearts and you're ready for this. Not all meetings we show up and preach at, that's been done. Matter of fact, sometimes the devil got there the week before we got there. And that's what I felt like in this church. First night I preached, opening night, it's just like wading through molasses, brother. I'm preaching as hard as I can preach and pouring my heart out. And you know what? Gave the invitation and nobody moved and the spirit was dead. And you could just feel a spirit of oppression over the entire service. And the singing wasn't right. Nothing was right. And I went to the room that was provided for me there on the campus, you know, of the church there. And I tried to get into bed and God would let me get into bed. And I thought to myself, this is going to those times, God, where I'm going to be here for three, I think it was 4 days actually. It started on a Monday and ended on a Thursday. And I said, I'm going to be here for 4 days and see nothing unless we see something miraculous happen. They left the auditorium unlocked, and I was glad that they did. Long after everybody left the property and everybody was in bed, this preacher, come on, folks, I want you to understand that God is looking and listening for someone who dares to pray great big prayers. I made my way into a dark auditorium. The only light was the exit lights like you have here that glows all night. Give me enough light to get to the front. And I got down on my knees behind that pulpit and I wept out my prayers and said, God, there's something here that's broken that I can't fix. I don't have a message that can fix this. Well, this is bigger than I am. The devil's got here first. Lord, I know who you are and I know what you can do. And I put the prayer time and say, how long do you pray? Let me tell you this. You pray till God taps you on the shoulder and says, that's good. That's good. And then you know what I did? I went and I slept. It's amazing once you pray it out how soundly you can sleep too. So, you know, I prayed it out. Second night, I'm coming in expecting revival. I think it was worse than the first night, man. I mean, it was as dead as a doornail, and the singing is just, everybody's mumbling through it, and people are looking around, and some of the other churches that came to support it and brought their teams, you know what? They're walking in, and I can see it, the look in their eyes, like, what is going on here, preacher? What do? You preach. You preach and pour yourself out. Invitation. Nary a person moves. I mean, nothing happens. Just dead. Just nothing. Say, what do? Well, Tuesday night, you try to get into bed again. Come on. Listen, are we willing to pay a price? It seems like everybody wants the miraculous, but we don't want to go to the Bible and find out the number one ingredient for the miraculous is getting in touch with a great big God who answers great big prayers. So, you know, God wouldn't let me sleep. There I am again. I didn't say a thing about it. I didn't say anything about it in the service. I didn't say anything about the youth pastor. Listen, you say, wouldn't it have been better to get a whole bunch of people praying? Listen, I just want to say this. And I'm all for people praying. But I think sometimes we get this misnomer that, you know, show me one place in the Bible where God answers prayers dependent on how many people you get praying. I can show you a place in the Bible that tells me that if you'll go to your closet and pray in secret, that God will reward you openly. I'm going to just ask you a question. Is the reason we want to get everybody in the world praying is because we figure they're praying, we don't have to? I don't mind praying for something if you come to me with that request. But I mind doing it if you don't not burden enough to do it. Don't ask me to pray and then not pray. Folks, I don't want this to sound haughty, but I'm going to tell you this. You know what? I don't need 100 people praying. I need to get down and pray myself. Sometimes I need to take some things to the closet. Come on, if you don't believe that, to get over there in that book of Matthew and rip that page out because it's not true. It is true. In the book of Acts, we see there's a time and a place for united prayer. But you know what? You ought to go check that out and study out what they gathered together and prayed for in a united fashion. Three times in the book of Acts, they prayed unitedly. We have an example of united prayer. They were gathered together to pray for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because they were about to launch into evangelism. They were praying for the fullness of the Holy Spirit so they could see people saved. When's the last time someone raised their hand during prayer time and gave that prayer request? Come on, this is good for us. I like when it gets a little quiet. The Bible can really mess up our philosophy and our doctrines sometimes. Second time is when they were facing great persecution. We just read about it. You know what? They went to the church and prayed for boldness and additional fullness of the Spirit so that they wouldn't cower down or back down, but they would go out there and hit it even harder. Third time was a life and death situation when Peter, come on, James was killed with the sword. Peter was in prison and they gathered at a house and they prayed. Why, it was a life or death situation. Now I'm going to make about half of you mad, but I want you to listen to me. All of our united prayer times being cluttered up with a lot of requests that ought to be closet requests. Come on. There's the Bible doctrine of public prayer. We ought to study it out and see why the church did it. And then there's the doctrine of personal prayer, private prayer. And the promise is this. If you will come to me and ask secretly, I will reward thee openly. I'm all for getting some folks together and praying. I'm all for the Lord will tell you. There's times where you need to get two or three gathered together and pray in Jesus' name. But again, are we doing this because we don't have a prayer closet? I can't find the book of Acts where they told church, stop what they're doing, got together because of Aunt Kathy's gout. I'm probably missing it. Come afterwards, show me, and I'll know not to say that next time I preach. Again, you know what? Selfishness, come on, it's the number one sin that's killing us. Selfishness has even crept into our prayers. And what we are more interested in coming to church and offloading every little detail of every problem into our life so we get everybody else praying for us, come on, than we are getting together and praying for the fullness of the Holy Spirit so we can go out and see some people saved. Come on, so that we can get together when we are told by the government we can't do what God said we need to do. And get filled again and go out with boldness and say, you know what? You're going to have to judge whether or not it's right to obey God rather than men. And you know what? Just go out and do it anyway. I understand there's life or death situations. And you know what? I think it's great when the church gathers together when a family's going through a real life or death crisis. Man, let's get together. But you know what? So much of our prayer time, I think it's God listens to it. He's thinking, this is what the church gathered for. Come on, this is good. No, this really is good for us. And folks, what I'm saying is this. Listen, folks, I came in there and I prayed. And Wednesday night I prayed. And you know what? Then come Thursday night. And by the way, that other meeting that all those teens went and took off to, it finished on Wednesday night. So you know what they did? They all showed up on Thursday night, came together as a group, sat in the back. And they didn't come with the spirit of saying, we showed up the last night. They came with that negative, we weren't here. Come on, we've heard it's been a failure. We just wanted to show up in the back and watch it fail one more time. Come on. I mean, you bring that ingredient into the meeting now, brother. They're all sitting in the back there. Come on. They're wicked parents. I'm going to say it again. They're wicked parents. They're wicked parents. It sowed the seeds of rebellion in the hearts of those children. And they're sitting back there and they've got their arms crossed and the smug looks on their face. And I said, Lord, I don't know how. Come on, folks, when we get into those situations, Brother Bragg, I mean, it's God or it's nothing. There's nothing Jerry Ross has in my bag of tricks that's going to fix this mess, you know. So what do? You don't go into a bag of tricks. You go into a book, and you just open it up, and you just preach. And I got done preaching. Somewhere during about the last third of the sermon, I could see God stirring some things. Brother, we bowed our heads for an invitation before I could even say a word. For one note was struck on a piano. All of a sudden, a couple of teenagers came rushing to the front and fell. I just fell. I mean, literally, their bodies just fell on the altar and began to pray. Another group, some boys came from this direction and just fell on their face. And all of a sudden, some more started coming from this direction, coming from this direction. And that group back there is looking like, what in the world is going on? Some of these that were praying went back to that group. And they talked to them. Next thing I know, some of those teens come out of the pew. Come on. God can do it. God can do it. That youth pastor was a nervous wreck. I came back and I sat down like this. And I quit talking, man. There's a time when people need to hear the voice of the preacher. And then there's a time where you just need to shut up because they're hearing a better voice and a stronger voice. And I came back and sat down. And he's sitting there. And he started towards the pulpit. Kind of, it's like he's going to get up. And I just went like this. And then he sat there fidgeting. You know, we're looking at our schedule. We got to figure out what's next. What's next sometimes is get out of God's way. That's what's next. He leaned over and I said, Brother Ross, what do I do? I said, sit and watch. Some of those rebellious teens, next thing I know, a pack of them come up and they came right over to this man. They put their arms around, they begin to apologize. Come on, come on. Some teen girls left that pack and went and found the youth pastor's wife, and the pastor's wife began to get right with them. Listen, you're not going to be wrong with your preacher and right with God. I'm just telling you that right now. You can go home and try to figure it out and rationalize it all you want. But you know what? Your problem isn't with your preacher. Your problem is with the book he's preaching. Come on, let's just get down to where it's honest sometimes. Come on. And you know what? We just watch that thing go on and go, come on, you've been there sometimes, brother. Those don't happen every time we go out and preach, but they happen enough to make us want to get out there and see if God's going to do it again. I was out preaching another meeting in a camp in Pennsylvania. I don't know what it is about Pennsylvania. I guess a lot of sin, so you know, where did sin did it about and grace did much more about? I don't know. went out there. We had a great week. It was Chris Starr's camp. It was just the opposite. The spirit was right from the beginning, and this thing was building. But, brother, we got done with Wednesday night. I told him, this thing's building. I mean, I think this thing's going to bust loose on the next last night. And so right before the 7 o'clock, I want to make this short, but I'm not going to shorten God up. Folks, we need to be reminded, God does great big things. And so they came to me 30 minutes before the service was ready to start. I'm over at I'm there early because I can just anticipate. I'm just feeling like, man, alive. These kids are open. Their hearts are open. They're pliable. I knew the message that God led me to preach. I just feel like this is going to be one of those, look out, Katie barred the door. You know, the Holy Spirit's about to get loose. Here we go. Services. And all of a sudden, one of the men came to me with his smartphone, you know, and he said, I got to show you this. And he punches up, and there is a radar of the weather. And they've got all these tornado watches and all these things, this big, nasty, red glob. And he said, now see this little blue dot here? Yeah, it's flashing. I can see it. They think because you're old, they have to explain everything you're seeing on the phone, which is almost true, okay? But in this case, I figured that out. And he's like, this thing's tracking right towards the camp. And he said, it's going to hit just about the time we would introduce you, preacher, for the safety of the kids. There's tornado. I said, brother, listen, we got to take care of the kids. But I said, so if you need to, you come in, interrupt the service, do whatever. So now I'm at the front. I'm just like, you know, come on. And all during the song service and all during the preliminaries, I'm glancing back and the guys back there were looking at his phone and I'm glancing back thinking, am I going to preach or are we going to go hide in the basement? What are we doing? And about the time it was time to introduce me, I looked back and he went like that. I said, here we go. And I run up to the pulpit and I thought, well, you know, we'll probably all die. This better be good. And I went to preaching and just, you know what, those kids. Again, folks, let me tell you something. It had nothing to do with the preacher most of the time. I'm just glad to tell you. It was a lot of parents probably home praying. A lot of home church pastors home praying. Come on. A lot of counselors that sacrificed things. And they were meeting before and after services and praying. Teenagers in that meeting were gathering together before the service. Listen, prayer works. Prayer works. So I preached my whole message. We have an invitation. And again, it was one of those brothers where you just kind of go over and sit down. Me and Brother Starr's looking at each other, and he kind of goes like that. And I kind of go like this and said, hey, pop the popcorn. Let's watch it, man. This is good stuff going on. So then after it's over, here comes this guy with his smartphone again. He comes running over to me. You got to see this. You got to see this. I said, what? And he hits this button. I don't know which one, but one of the little magic buttons on the smartphone. And it reverses back to what happened. And here he showed it to me 30 minutes out. And there's this big, giant, nasty-looking red glob heading for the camp. And as it got closer, I promise you, if I'm lying on, I'm dying, King James, I put my hand on my King James Holy Bible. I am watching this, Brother Bragg. And this glob is coming to the camp, and it splits in two. And it goes on either side of the camp. Now, we've known through all of history. Come on, John Rice used to stand outside and pray away storms. But we've never had the technology to watch it happen. And I'm sitting there like this. And I'm thinking of what God just did in the meeting. And it goes around and it comes back together. And I said, play it again. Play that again. And he played it again. And I saw it split again. I said, play it again. Play it again. Play it again. I must have watched it 10 times. By the time it was playing for the 10th time, I'm weeping and slobbering and snotting. And they're all weeping with me. And I'm like, God is great. God is great. You know what, folks? He's the creator of the universe. He not only created all things, he controls all things. By him, all things consist. He is the eternal one. Come on, he's the self-sufficient one, self-existent one. And you know what he says tonight to us? Call unto me. I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us. So many more stories that I could tell. Lord, thank you for giving this preacher, Lord, unworthy, so weak, so many times too weak. Thank you that we can, Lord, we can pray out of the prison of our inadequacies. But we can pray to a God who has a resume of doing the impossible. I don't know what everyone's facing. I don't know what's going on in everybody's life, Lord. I know what's going on in mine. I know intimately what's going on in a lot of the people that attend Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Lord, I want to say this to you. Thank you for being a great big God. Thank you for having a track record of answering great big prayers. Thank you that your eyes are still searching and your ears listening for that one Christian that's willing to get down on their knees and simply trust you. Bring a prayer request to you that is worthy of an almighty God. Lord, bless us in our frailness. Bless us, Lord, in our inadequacies. Bless us despite our weaknesses. Lord, bless us, please, and help us despite our sinfulness and our shortcomings. Lord, may we come to you tonight. May we just get clean before you. Then may we trust you. Trust you with some things that we've been trying to carry ourselves. Trust you with some things that we've been trying to solve ourselves. Lord, may we truly know what it is by the end of the night to cast our cares upon you, knowing that you care for us. Bless this invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The piano player's playing. The altar's open.